here today with my very own co-host, Festive Ferret, but also with a very famous writing partner of hers, Ashes0909, who you may know as being the co-authors of the long-running BDSM series Held. And we are going to absolutely talk about Held, and there's lots of conversations to have about Held, including not the topic and the content alone, but also the process of collaborating. And we want you guys to know that Ashes is going to join us again in a couple episodes, and we're going to talk then kind of about the structure and the process of being collaborators. But today, these two people that have kind of immersed themselves in thinking about BDSM and fandom in particular are going to chat to us a little bit about that process. So, hello, guys. Thanks so much for joining us.
Hey. It's weird to be on this side of the microphone, if you will.
Ooh, I hope it still works okay.
I think we'll get through.
I think we'll muddle. So because Ferret and I, we've already kind of told our origin stories, Ashes, would you mind sharing with us kind of how you got into Marvel and that process?
Sure. So I've been into different fandoms probably since I was about 12. And obviously that predates Marvel, or the Marvel Cinematic Universe at least. And when it came to getting into Marvel, it was actually that I watched the movies, especially the first Avenger and Avengers, and I really got into the characters, but I didn't really get hit by fandom feels, I would say, until I was just scrolling through Tumblr and kept seeing all of these like great pieces of like fan art and fan vids and just people really like interpreting the different dynamics of the people and the characters. And I ended up going from like, oh, well, what's all this, to kind of feeling like that was starting to interpret how I was watching the movies. And then once that happened and I started actually seeing these characters in a more romantic way, I had been in another fandom pretty hard. I was in Supernatural right before Marvel. And how I usually work with fandoms is that I get really, really into them, and then it kind of fades away. And then in that fading away period, I'm usually looking for another fandom. And I remember just like wanting to be really involved in another really active, like plenty of fan works, plenty of media, and finding Marvel just kind of there. And at the time I was walking a lot. Like I lived in a city where I was walking to and from work a lot, and I was walking home from work, and I just like got this idea of like, what if like Pepper Potts saw that really famous People magazine photo shoot where Chris Evans and Robert Downey Jr. are kind of like kissing each other's cheeks and like acting like really, you know, stony-ish. And I remember seeing that. That was like a real photo shoot. And I remember seeing that and just being like, there's a fanfic here. And like once I started thinking that way, I was just like, like completely into the fandom. I was just like, I'm now seeing them act in certain ways and being like, I'm gonna write a story on this. And that's what got me like into the writing part of the fandom. And then once that happened, the fandom itself ended up being so like large and communal and very welcoming that I just kind of found myself being active on Tumblr. And then there was like this big community on DreamWorks that I remember seeing running event, or DreamWorks. So I remembered seeing like running events, and I was like, oh, maybe I can try getting into some of these events. And then because the fandom itself had so many good resources, it was really easy just to fall so heavily into it. And then that was around 2016. And now it's, gosh, 2020. So I kind of haven't quite emerged from just this like constant, just supportive group of people who just kind of foster new ideas. And you're like, oh, I never even thought to think of like that dynamic. Like now I want to delve into it and write it, or and just things like that. It kind of just self-perpetuates itself in like keeping me really interested and keeping me really active and things like that.
So then if a lot of fandom for you, it sounds like, is this idea, which I think it is for a lot of us, of taking these folks and answering the question, what if, with them, what led you to what if Tony was Steve's dom? Like, where did that kind of enter in? Is BDSM already something that you were reading about? Like, where did that kind of come from?
Yeah, I would say that, like, BDSM has always kind of been a aspect of fanfic that I've enjoyed. Like, even when I was younger and I was kind of coming of age, you know, trying to understand my own interests, like, sexually and things like that, I definitely found myself very drawn to fics that had power dynamics and things like, in Harry Potter is one of my main fandoms, and there's just rife for power dynamics when you have a school setting sort of deal. And like, I was very young and I wasn't really realizing that what I was reading was BDSM. I just liked the dynamics that the characters were doing and I found it very appealing. And so I was clicking on them more. So when it came to and this was before I was even writing, like I was just reading at that point. And then when it came to writing, I found myself very interested in that dynamic. As an individual, you have you have your life, and your life can be very hectic or it can be very structured. And I always was very intrigued by the dynamics of Steve and Tony, because I saw Steve as being this like man who had to give orders and had to lead his like the Howleys and had to like kind of always be in control, especially when he was, you know, in a war and he was an actual captain and he was always the one responsible for his team. And I saw that the appeal of somebody with that level of responsibility to, in a sexual setting, just be able to completely let go and to not have to make any of the choices and to just be able to look towards somebody else, to trust in them and have the love in them, to know you're going to take care of me and I'm going to like find satisfaction in just literally doing what you want within the, you know, prescribed rules of that relationship or the dynamics and communicated boundaries of that relationship. I can just let go. And I know that you're just going to take care of me and take me to a place that's orgasms and amazingness. And like, maybe I don't have to think about what's going on with my team and the battle that's going to happen in like 3 days. I can just think about sitting here on my knees, sucking your cock. And like, it doesn't have to, it allows that sort of very controlled person to let go. And then on the flip side, I kind of saw Tony as this person who was very frantic. Like, he just had so much going on. He's running a business. He's kind of like, he's got a lot of control in his like personal life, but he also is very, I kind of view him as very, not frantic, but just, there's a lot going on and he doesn't just get to like focus on one thing. He has to be somewhere else. Pepper is taking him here. Or he's across the world, or all of a sudden the stock market's crashing. And you know, there's just a lot of like things that he has to do. And I saw with that character, like the ability to see, cause in Held, he notices Steve looking at handcuffs that he has on his arm that are connected to the Iron Man briefcase. And I saw him seeing Steve's interest in that and like kind of being like, well, I can like take this and see where it can go. And I also, honestly, the briefcase itself had a lot of inspiration for me. I don't know how many people remember that one Iron Man suit that's connected to the briefcase, and it has in one like still image the chain connected to it that has a cuff that presumably goes on Tony's hand. And I remember seeing that and being like, how is this not BDSM? Like, I just saw it as like the briefcase itself like led a lot of ideas, because I saw Tony holding this briefcase, there being like a handcuff and a chain, and these like images are, to me, already were very suggestive. Indicative of, yeah, suggestive. And so when I saw it, and then I put it into this dynamic of like Steve seeing it on Tony and then Tony seeing Steve's reaction to it, the dynamics kind of fell into place when I had already in the background like Steve wanting to let go and submit. So it kind of fell into line.
You know, I'm thinking for the first time, I'm realizing that that image, that first image that inspired the whole thing, is Tony with the handcuff on, which is kind of like, in some ways, inherently submissive. Like, you could view that as submissive to the Iron Man armor in the,
yeah,
in the briefcase. And yet that's
not totally
how it got interpreted when it
I think that the reason that I didn't interpret it that way is because I was already really intrigued by this idea
the
of
dynamic,
Steve wanting to submit. And then, so when he saw it and he was interested in the way that it looked, it was like he didn't even really know why he was interested in it, but Tony knew. So,
So Ferret, is that a similar as to why you were intrigued to this world that you guys created together, or is there a different entry point for you?
Yeah, I don't think that I'd read a lot of BDSM, or at least I hadn't sought it out really. I can't really remember if I had any particular feelings about it either way. And as we know, hashtag goldfish, I have no clue what fics I had read before that point in time, which was, it was far along in my reading of Marvel, but it was still fairly early in my writing of Marvel. I think I had 7 fics published when Ashley and I met. So that was pretty early on.
Yeah. And like a few of them were not even Stony.
I think the only one that wasn't was Reynolds.
Oh, then never mind.
Yeah. No, but it's true. I already said on the pod that my first fic was not Stony. My first Marvel fic was not Stony. So, oh, and
mine
you're right.
Wasn't
I had
either,
the,
so it's all okay.
I had Doctor Who ones on there.
Yeah, you had Doctor Who ones
okay,
too.
Okay, you were right.
Because I remember being like, oh my God, Doctor Who and Marvel.
It's like I was flirting directly with you.
Basically.
Well, so how it started for me was we were talking a lot and we were baiting for each other already. And we had other friends that we talked about stuff with, but we would often brainstorm things together. And Ashes came home drunk from her happy hour, as she says, and just started describing it. And me and our friend Herman were just like, yeah, great idea. Go for it. Write it. And I baited it and she posted it pretty quickly. And then it was not long later, like less than 2 weeks later, she decided to make it a series and the next one went up. And I just got that muse thing where it's not up to you and an idea just beams into your head fully formed. And I was taking what I call a ferret nap, which is, fun fact for everyone listening, ferret can't take naps. I cannot sleep during the day. It's physically impossible for me to do so. So my ferret naps are just lying with the lights off and my eyes closed and wishing I was sleeping. But I write a lot during those. So I had a ferret nap and I wrote an entire episode of Held. It's the shortest one, I think the shortest one I did, maybe not the shortest one overall.
It might be.
And it just came out of me fully formed. And I think that like, because Ashes had already formed the dynamic, I was like convinced already. I didn't have to sort of engage with why at all because I had that evidence in front of me already and I just ran with the world that she'd already built. And then of course, over 3 years, we like added a lot more to it, but.
Yeah, and I think that it's interesting because when it came to Held, I had expected it to be small little bursts, kind of like little M&Ms of fanfic.
Yeah.
And then, so it kind of just made sense and was really easy that like Ferret could throw in her M&M. Like there wasn't really this like actual
like big
trajectory
arc.
That
yeah,
I was
yeah.
really like going for. I just knew I wanted it to be little snippets of different of kind of like at first the forming of a BD or a DS relationship. Should I call them a DS relationship or BDSM? Because I feel like they're a DS relationship that has other elements that umbrella under BDSM.
That's a really good place actually to step back because we are using a ton of different letters and terms and everything else like that. So
true.
Would you guys give us, and also let's just say this, the world of BDSM in fandom, which has become this like umbrella of everything that is basically not missionary style heterosexual sex in some ways. Everything that kind of falls under that, like, so listeners understand we are not talking about practicing of this in offline life, we're speaking about it in terms of fandom. So in terms of fandom, would you guys kind of give us the basics of what this world is?
Yeah, it's it is, I do think it's become sort of an umbrella term, probably for all the kinks that I would say fall under power play or power dynamics. I think
that's probably, and sex toys sometimes. Just kind
but don't you think there has to be like a power element to the use of the sex toys for people to consider it BDSM?
Yes, I do think that. I think that some sex toys or some sexual equipment even has like an inherent
yeah, that's like
DS the, element.
Yeah. So there's like,
well, the definition of BDSM itself is bondage, dominance, submission, and sadism masochism. And I don't, and there's also different definitions too, because some people say that the S is submission, some people say that it's sadism. And I think that like if you go to like Wikipedia, it almost like kind of does like a Venn diagram. So like the D stands for both discipline and domination, and it just becomes this like very umbrella term to kind of take like a dominant submission role and also discipline, sadism, and masochism. And I think that like the fandom itself doesn't necessarily care about like kind of using all of those in one fic. Like if they just have a role playing where somebody, where there's like a power dynamic, they're going to say that that's BDSM. They're not just going to say power dynamics and dominance. You know, like I think that there's also a bit of like just how fandom and how AO3 especially is just works with like tags, that you're more likely to throw on a tag that's more encompassing because you can.
I actually did I crunched some numbers. So thanks for the segue, babe.
You're very welcome.
There are 35,000 fics that are tagged Steve Tony. We'll start with that. That's where we're starting from. So that's a lot. Of those, 1,000, and keep in mind that I didn't search for any ands for this particular light look at statistics. So these are just, there may be overlap here. People may have tagged more than one of these tags, but these are just the total numbers for each of these tags. So 1,604 are tagged BDSM, and then 951 are tagged Dom Sub. So it does seem like people are more likely to use the umbrella term of BDSM, and maybe also sometimes use the Dom Sub tag as well. 470 are tagged bondage. So that's, you know, that's less than a third of how many were tagged BDSM. And then what I thought was really interesting was in terms of Dom Tony Stark, Dom Steve Rogers, Sub Tony Stark, and Sub Steve Rogers, it's 162, 184, 180, 135. So it really doesn't vary much.
Oh, yeah. It's really even.
It's pretty even, yeah.
It's interesting. And I imagine that there's probably not very many tagged sadism or masochism. Like,
no,
there might be a few.
But yeah. I think people prefer... If I clicked on a fic that was tagged sadism or sadomasochism or anything like that, I would expect it to be pretty hard. Mm-hmm. Whereas I think with BDSM, you're also incorporating a huge range of emotional power play that may have no physical control element or pain play or anything like that at all. You can have a dom-sub relationship without incorporating any physical tools into it at all.
So speaking of the Dom and Sub relationships, I find it really interesting that Tony and Steve are interchangeable, because like just as much as I can see how you guys have written Held, I love the fix where it's the other way, because as somebody who has a job with a lot of disparate responsibilities, I can identify with Tony's need to shut off.
Oh yeah.
As much as I can identify with a need to actually have control over something.
Oh yeah. And I mean, I completely agree too, that I think that even when I explain my own reasonings behind why one is one or the other, I see, and also in my own reading, read them interchangeably. I am not somebody who's just, he's always the sub, he's always the dom, because I do see in their personalities justifications, and even people are interesting. Like some people like to switch.
Both ways are supported by canon and by fanon, And I wouldn't be like, oh, it feels out of character to read either of them in either capacity. And we even within Held played with switching it up. There's an episode where Steve ties Tony up and he really enjoys that. And I think that it was important for us for Held specifically that this was where their natural inclinations lay, but it was very much within the universe of Held that this was Steve's desire was to mostly be submissive. And the times that they switched was for fun. And Tony got pleasure from being in control of Steve.
Because that's one of the interesting things about a DS relationship is that consent and power are at the core of it entirely. So nothing actually happens without the person in the submissive role consenting and giving power to the Dom to make those things happen. Power is not something that just exists amorphous. It's a choice and an exchange.
And there's power in giving that permission and sort of power of yourself over to somebody. Like, you have that power to create the boundaries of it. The character has the power to create the boundaries of the relationship that they want to create. And I think that because everyone who is writing and creating fan works under the umbrella of BDSM can kind of interpret the characters their own way, it's really just such a rich avenue for kind of getting the psychological sexual involvement however way and matchup and interaction you want, because you can justify it depending on how you write it or how you draw it or how you edit.
When you're writing it from a character's point of view, it doesn't really, like, the sexy part of writing sex is how you show how the character feels about it. So when you're exploring BDSM stuff, you can kind of take it anywhere. And as long as you write convincingly that the character enjoys it, it can get, you know, it can get pretty wild. I think we've written some stuff that, like, I wrote one where Steve's tied up with pieces of dental floss and he's not allowed to break them. And so he has to exhibit a huge amount of self-control not to break the pieces of dental floss. But dental floss is actually pretty hard to break. And so in real life, that would not be fun because it would just dig into your skin. But it's the concept of dental floss as being easy to break that we have, like, linguistically, that made it the necessary vehicle for that particular kinky moment.
I'm thinking back to reading that chapter and realizing that, yes, I know that dental floss is, like, annoyingly unbreakable.
Yeah.
And yet in that moment, I 100% bought the fact that if Steve moved too quickly, he would break everything.
Yeah, we talked about it and we tried to figure out if there was a better thing to use. But honestly, anything thin and thread-like that would make it clear it was easy to break from a conceptual standpoint would actually be fairly challenging to break. Like, embroidery thread is specifically difficult.
Yeah, and like fishing line.
Fishing line, hard to break. Yeah. We went through everything. And in the end, it was, we thought the message that dental floss sent was more important than it actually, but then I had to put a disclaimer on it. Like, please don't tie up your submissive with dental floss because it's painful and it's hard to break. And I did some tests.
So speaking of that, clearly there was research that went into this and a lot of thought process. And at one point offline in one of the conversations, either we had as a three-way chat or something else.
You could say threesome.
You can say threesome, yeah.
Okay. Just, I didn't want to be that person.
Someone has to say threesome first on the pod and it can be you.
Oh, well, I'm fine with that. So either as our threesome or in another conversation, you guys talked about having to do research into new kinks.
Yeah. That was kind of like in the beginning, we had a lot of ideas that just came from us and mm-hmm. we were exploring that. And it was a lot about what we were going to do to develop their relationship, because the first, like, I don't know, half of the first season, yeah, like, it's all trying to get them to, like, falling in love and, like,
yeah, and like kind of setting their dynamic and their romance. Yeah. Like, and
we did explore them, like, their experience of figuring out what their boundaries were and what they were comfortable with, and
yeah, and like what sort of assurances they needed,
yeah,
and what sort of rules, but also just knowing that, like, that this is special for each other, and it's not just something that's like they're doing it and it's disposable. We spent the first half of the season kind of establishing both their romantic and sexual dynamic, and then as we continued, there was a lot of, sometimes the kink would lead the fic.
We'd pick the kink first and be like, how can we write one about sounding or whatever?
Exactly. Like, I'm really into, I keep coming back to shared. I'm really into like sharing my partner today. Like, and I really want to write like one where Tony is sharing Steve. So I'm just like, how can we make this work without completely obliterating everything that we've created but still like making it true to them as the characters? And like, I really wanted to write Steve's first time penetrating somebody because he was in this
the breadstick.
Yeah, he was like the in this universe he hadn't before. He was a virgin. So I wanted him to do that. So then I created the story that led that. Sometimes it was like, I really want to write a held. What should I write a held
or
about?
Like, we haven't posted a held in a long time. Let's dig through the list of kinks out there. And because definitely as we went on and as we got past, like once it felt like their relationship was established, it became more and more about each episode being representative of some aspect of BDSM or some specific kink or some specific tool or something that they could use.
Is there any subject that you wrote on that kind of surprised you at either how difficult it was or how easily it flowed as a story? Was there any of those categories?
There was definitely ones that like that were easier to write. Like, I feel like I liked, but then they were easier to write for different reasons. Like, some were easier to write because it was just 400 words or 600 words of kink. And then others were harder to write because there were a few that we created a whole plot. So some of them were just like harder to write because not harder to write, but there was just more to writing them because they themselves just had more going on in them. But I think that later as we were writing, Ferret may agree or disagree, but I feel like it got, the thing that became the most challenging was how to stay fresh, how to stop, like how to not become repetitive.
Yeah. And then we were also like, I don't want to say scraping the bottom of the barrel, but we'd run out of the kinks that were natural, that came naturally to us to write about, the ones that we liked to read the most or the ones we felt really confident about. And we would solicit prompts from people. And some of them were like, this is great, but I don't know how to write that, or I don't know how to make that held. And we have a whole hutch of ideas that never got, you know, there were things that we thought of the idea and we tried it and it didn't work, or it just, you know, someone had a passing thought or a passing scene moment and it just never turned into a full episode.
And we also had our own preferences, I'd say. Like, I know I'm way more into, like lingerie and like cross-dressing and things
like
that.
You got me into lingerie. I wasn't into it before you.
Yeah, I definitely brought that. So anytime that like there were lacy panties involved or things like that, that was always something that I was spearheading. And then I feel like there's probably like sounding wasn't necessarily something that I was into, but yeah, was like super into. So there was nice like kind of balance there where it's kind of like, well, we can't, like, what should we write a held of? Like, I'm really into this. And then it's like, cool, write it. And then you kind of like don't have to, you know, write something that you're not necessarily totally into.
But it was also cool because it gave us an opportunity to make gifts for people, because all we had to do was be like, okay, what's your kink? And they would have something that they love to read that there wasn't enough out there of it or whatever. And it'd be like, all right, how do we turn this into a held? And we did that for some people.
Yeah. And then I'd like to think of Display Encore, which is the sex club one, as just like Ashley putting in as many like major kinks that she has. Cause like I put in like a Sibian, I put in a St. Andrew's cross. I was like, this one's going to take
that
like...
was your backfill of everything that was left over. We knew it was going to end at that point. And you're like,
yeah. And I was like, cool. I have to get out a good amount of kinks right now.
That one did feel like a lot was happening, not in a bad way, but it was, as a reader and somebody not in your heads, like I was reading all these kind of like one shot, like couple hundred words, and then there's a lot.
And, and then there's like a 5,000 word like kink throw.
Look, yeah. People out in podcast land, if you want to make Ashy happy, just write a fic where there's a club of any kind and there's dancing and probably drugs and then sex, and she'll love it. So put
that
some lingerie in there.
A lot of my fixed too.
Yeah, because you write what you love.
Yeah,
I'm not outing you, babe. Everybody knows.
I mean, you are what you write, right?
Yeah.
Or you're not really.
I hope you can not. Be. Some of it is. The trick is to not tell people which one.
Mm-hmm. Keep everybody guessing. So if you guys were going to give tips, some advice to somebody who would like to start writing something within the umbrella, but is either afraid to start or intimidated by it, is there anything that you would say to them?
I would say read a lot of it. Like, if you have the interest, I imagine that you are reading it. And I think that the more you read something, it kind of gets normalized. And then there's always that difficult part where you like go from reading something you like to like attempting to write it. And I think that like my main advice for it would just be to just go for it and not worry that you're not doing it right. Because there's always, you can write everything out and then read it and then kind of see like, maybe I should add a safe word to the top. And then you can just kind of like include that up like in edits. Like the first, for all of my writing advice, the first thing to do is just get it out. And then as you kind of read it over and realize like, oh, you know, maybe I completely forgot to write how much this character's enjoying what's happening to them. You can like kind of add that paragraph in later or like weave it into it as you write it. And I think that when it comes to things like this and smut in general, it's really just getting used to writing the words like cock and cum and pleasure. And there's these words that like, I remember stumbling over. Like, yeah. I remember when I first was writing them, I was like, I wanted to say every other word but cock. Like, I wanted to say length and member. And I'm just like, no, like for me, at least as a reader and as a writer, like that makes it more of a big deal than just
feels like you're skirting around something.
Yeah. Than just like writing it and then it being what's happening as opposed to like taking you out of it because you're like trying to write around something. And I also think that like when it comes to topics like this where consent is involved, like a lot of people do get really gun shy because they are worried that they're going to not approach it correctly. And I think that it is important to remember that this is fan fiction. Like, you don't have real individuals that you're actually manipulating into these situations. Like, it's all fantasy. So like, let's say you do mess up and you forget to like include a conversation about like boundaries and stuff. Like, it's not the end of the world. You didn't just hurt an individual. You just didn't include it in your fanfic. And I think that it's actually a really good place to explore your own sorts of interests in different sexual avenues, because you can just kind of write it out and be like, wow, I am into this. I just wrote 1,000 words of it. Cool.
Yeah. And there's no real world consequences. So
exactly.
You can explore it in whatever depth you want to, and you've not put anybody out or put yourself in a dangerous situation.
That makes so much sense.
Speaking of consent as well, like, it's kind of, that can be a hard thing, because I think everybody's experience of everybody's concept of consent is a little bit different, depending on where you're from and what kind of relationships you're in. Like, Ashes and I are both in committed relationships, and for us, the idea of consent can be a little less explicit than it is for people who are dating more casually and have to be more explicit about that. So I think that comes across in Hild sometimes. And we had cases where readers completely disagreed about whether an episode, as we called them, had enough consent or not. So
yeah, like, we would have one episode where somebody was like, where's the consent? And another one that's like, the consent was really good, but it was the same episode. So there is a bit of like, it's, if you feel like you've created a safe space for these characters, then move forward confidently writing what it is you want to write for the characters to experience. And then the only person that you really have to be like, I am happy with how this came out, is yourself. So like, if you feel like the characters are in a safe situation and consent was made, or even, I mean, there is a whole aspect of this that likes to play with non-consensuals, and you like can set those dynamics up too. And I think that it's just super important to realize that if you're trying to write this, you don't have to get everything right. Like, you might or you'd want to do if you were with a real other human being, because the stakes are just so much lower. This is fiction. This is a world to play in. And I think that a lot of people do kind of be like, well, I don't want anyone to get hurt. And it's like, well, they're not real people. So you can hurt them a little bit. Or if you feel uncomfortable writing it that way, then like make sure that you include the things that make you feel comfortable then when the story is complete.
Also, from a writing perspective, reeling it back to just staring at that cursor, I think the primary thing that makes kink sexy to read is how the characters feel about it. So it doesn't really matter which kink you're writing or how, like what the logistics of the BDSM game they're going to play or whatever, if one character is tying up another character, if the control is purely mental. If the character whose head you're in is finding it sexy and they're feeling safe and they're enjoying it, then that's what's going to come across to the reader and make it an enjoyable and tantalizing experience for them as well. So yeah, if you're can struggling to describe the physicality of it, or if that starts to run out, then dig back into how it feels, not just physically, but emotionally, to be either in control or out of control.
I think that's a great note to end on, because fundamentally, isn't that what we're all trying to create, is feelings and realities around the emotions of these characters that we have so deeply connected with. So Ferret and Ashes, thank you guys so much for your time.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And we will see you again soon, I am sure.